On this week's episode of the Ultimate Tennessee Podcast, happy Thanksgiving to you. We are recapping Tennessee-South Alabama, taking a look at the Vols against Vanderbilt. Plus, is Josh Heupel a legit candidate for SEC Coach of the Year? We'll get into all of that and much more coming up on today's show, brought to you, as always, by Brentwood Hearing Center, your sound solution, Middle Tennessee, for over 40 years. And if you find yourselves at the opposite end of the Thanksgiving table, maybe you're just totally at the kids' table and you can't hear what's going on across the room. Maybe you haven't graduated to the big table yet. Maybe you just can't hear the kids on the other side of the room if you're older than I am. Well, Brentwood Hearing Center can help you get back in the conversation. Don't miss the sounds that matter most. Brentwood Hearing Center has five doctors of audiology. They've been the hearing care provider in Middle Tennessee for a reason. It's because they've got the latest technology and they've got a specific tailored solution for you. You can find them online at BrentwoodHearingCenter.com. Their number is easy to remember, 615-377-0420. It's the Ultimate Tennessee Podcast, Thanksgiving Week Edition, with me and Lucas Panzeek, and we're getting it started right now.
Will Bowling, Lucas Panzeca, and the best insiders covering the Vols on Rocky Top each and every week. It's the Ultimate Tennessee Podcast on the Zone Podcast Network.
Welcome into a brand new episode of the Ultimate Tennessee Podcast. It is the 104.5 The Zone Podcast Network. It is 104.5 The Zone here on the airwaves as well. Alongside Lucas Panzeca, I'm your host, Will Bowling, as always. Lots to get into on a Thanksgiving week. Hope you and your family have enjoyed the feast week, the holiday festivities getting underway, which means a lot of football. And Lucas, this is my sneaky favorite time of year for sports. It is football. It is NFL football. It is college. It is all of the above. All of the things are happening right now. I could not be happier. This is the most wonderful time of the year.
It's why Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. It is number one in my power rankings over Christmas, over everything, all the time. And we'll get into those debates down the road. But yeah, right. It's why Thanksgiving is my number one. It's the best football week of the year, but it's bittersweet, right? It's the regular season finale. It's crazy. But that's what I love about college football. You always save the best for last. Rivalry week. Next weekend, you've got championship week. And then bowl mania, I absolutely adore. We're talking about Heisman winners, Biletnikoff winners, Broyles Award winners, all of that good stuff. And then, of course, the playoff in January. So these next 2 to 3 weeks, the best weeks in college football. But it's bittersweet because you look around and you think you're only going to get 8 more quarters to watch your favorite football team play in the majority of cases, unless your team is in that conversation for the playoffs. So no doubt, though, 100% unequivocally, the best time of year. It's my favorite holiday.
So on today's show, which, by the way, Lucas, I'm very proud to know that you and I share this exact same opinion. This is the best holiday of the year. I did not know we had this in common.
Yes, because it's the F's, right? It's food, family, friends, football. I mean, it's the four F's. It does not get any better than that. And I'm sorry, but Christmas doesn't you don't get any of those F's on Christmas. Oh, you get family and you get food, I guess, but you don't have to buy gifts for anybody. The food is better. The weather is better. So there's fall. So that's five F's. It's five F's for Thanksgiving that make it the best holiday.
Incredible. Incredible. All right. So coming up on today's show, we take a look at Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up this weekend. Recap a little bit of South Alabama. That's where we're going to start here in a minute. Plus our bowl projections for Tennessee pending the Vanderbilt game, of course. And talking a little coach of the year, should Josh Heupel be in the mix for the SEC coach of the year? Stay tuned for that coming up on today's show. Of course, this show is available every Wednesday on the 104.5 The Zone Podcast Network. And that network includes wherever you get audio, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. We've got some of the best people covering Tennessee every other week here on the show as well. So lots to get into every single week, year round, basketball, football, a little bit of baseball. When it's time to talk about that, we will do it all. And we do it every single week right here on the Zone Podcast Network. But Lucas, we begin with the win over South Alabama, 60-14, a game where Hendon Hooker was remarkably efficient, finished 17 of 20 for 273 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. He has thrown 24 passing touchdowns this season, putting him 8th on the all-time single-season touchdowns list in Tennessee history. And the guy didn't even start the season. The efficiency with which this guy is playing is impressive. And South Alabama is not that bad. I mean, think about the fact that South Alabama was a 28-point underdog to Tennessee, and Vanderbilt is a 31.5-point underdog to Tennessee. The Vols were excellent on Saturday.
And it's one thing about this offense, this scheme under Josh Heupel, the days are over, right, of Tennessee fans having to worry about just showing up on games like this, playing the South Alabamas and the Bowling Greens of the world, because you just can't replicate this offense. And when you throw in the athletes that Tennessee has, some on the outside with Velus Jones and Cedric Tillman, and you can't replicate it in practice, and it's hard to adjust to it when you just don't have the talent like South Alabama does. When you have a talented and deep team experience like Georgia, a little bit easier to adjust down the stretch of a football game. But for a team like South Alabama, it's really tough. So that's one thing that Tennessee fans, I think, can take comfort in, that games like this will almost always be won by a very large, very stat padding, comfortable margin because of the nature of this offense. And it was no different on Saturday. They didn't drop a beat. They didn't, you know, quote unquote, trap game fall off after a really tough stretch after the Georgia game and look ahead to Vanderbilt in the postseason, whatever bowl game they might get. No, they showed up. They took care of their business, understanding they'd only have limited opportunities to play in this regular season. And what really, I think, for these players has been a really special season, as the seniors kind of talk about it this week leading up to senior day. I think a lot of these guys, what's happened in these last 11 games, it's meant a lot to them over the course of Josh Heupel's first season. So it was good to see them put a four-quarter performance together and everybody kind of getting there, so to speak.
It really was. Tennessee records four sacks against South Alabama, the fourth game this season with four or more sacks. 20 players recorded a tackle. And Lucas, Tennessee held South Alabama to 1 of 16 on third down. First time the Vols held their opponent under 10% third down conversions since Indiana State back in September of 2017, who was 0 for 11. The Sycamores getting a shout out on today's podcast. If you had that at plus like 1 million odds before the show, go collect your winnings at the pay window. But it's impressive what this defense did because of how they looked against Georgia. Lucas, how many times have we seen Georgia beat Tennessee twice, right? How many times have we seen Alabama beat Tennessee twice? Obviously, Tennessee was not going to lose to South Alabama unless a disaster happened. But, I mean, this is the kind of game Tennessee wins by 10 points, 14 points. Doesn't look convincing. That looked kind of the way they did in the second quarter against Bowling Green, right? That was not outside of the realm of possibilities for this game. That is a point of progression for Tennessee under Josh Heupel this year. They handled their business against a really bad team that is better than Bowling Green was. And look at the difference between those two performances at the start and now the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the South Alabama game, the last time Tennessee played that program, and you're one of Butch Jones. They kind of had to gut out a 31-24 win in Neyland Stadium back in 2013. And fast forward to now, this football team that we saw Saturday, very different from the one that came out against Bowling Green on that Thursday in September in game one of the Josh Heupel era. Obviously, Joe Milton at quarterback, but just the rhythm of the offense, the timing between Hendon Hooker and his receivers, this clear-cut identity that the defense has developed, it's really aged over the course of 11 games, and it showed against an inferior team. And we saw that a little bit against Tennessee Tech, but that's a struggling, you know, FCS, OVC program. Here's South Alabama, a team that is scrapping for bowl eligibility. They'll look to get that this week, that, you know, has one talented guy on the outside, a top three round wide receiver, and obviously a former SEC quarterback, Jake Bentley, that was not able to play. But these are the type of games that Tennessee has struggled with before. And I don't think that's going to happen anymore with this offense. And we saw that on Saturday.
I think you're absolutely right. And it is incredible considering all of the stats that we just gave and all the analysis about South Alabama, not very good, and all the stuff that's happened, that Vandy is still a bigger underdog. I can't get over this. I've been talking about this all week on J. Martin Ramon, talked about it on Tuesday's show a lot. Like, how is Vanderbilt a worse underdog to Tennessee than South Alabama, considering that Vanderbilt has not been like Kentucky in this phase of Tennessee football that's been so bad? Vanderbilt has overperformed against Tennessee year in and year out, and Vanderbilt is coming off a game against Ole Miss where they had a chance to make it a one-score game with 2 minutes left and couldn't convert in the red zone. What am I missing here?
Yeah, I think it's odd too. Now, I'll preface this by saying I think Vanderbilt, South Alabama would be a good football game.
I think so too.
I think that could be
especially if Jake Bentley was healthy.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to take a shot here. I truly think that would be kind of a toss-up game. But I do think Vanderbilt deserves a little bit better than that because of the way this team has battled. Look, they are so shorthanded. The talent deficiency between them and basically everybody else in the SEC is so noticeable. But I do need to give Clark Lee some credit. And, Will, I mean, we both sung Clark Lee's praises when he was hired at Vanderbilt.
No doubt.
I know you really enjoyed being around him at SEC Media Days in Hoover. Look, this team is playing hard. When you look at their last few outings, go back to October 16th, they lose by a point to South Carolina, 21-20. Well, there's a South Carolina team that is suddenly red hot off back-to-back wins over Florida and Auburn. They get blown out by Mississippi State in the air raid, but you go to October 30th, a 37-28 loss to Missouri, a team that also just knocked off Florida and got Dan Mullen fired. They lose 34-17 at home to Kentucky. They lose 31-17 on the road to the number 8 team in the country in Ole Miss. So this team is playing hard for Clark Lee. I think he has buy-in. Mike Wright, a running quarterback, just that kind of wild card gets thrown in there. I'm not saying I think this game is going to be competitive. I really don't think that's the case, but I do think Vanderbilt deserves better than a 31-point underdog going into this game.
I agree. Vanderbilt coming off their second 200-yard rushing performance against an SEC opponent in these past couple of weeks. Against Ole Miss, they were only outgained by about 40 yards. In this game, Mike Wright was better, and Clark Lee says on Tuesday that he is going to start in this game against Tennessee. Look, I mean, we talk about this so much in a previous, less successful era of Vanderbilt football. This is Vanderbilt's bowl game. This is what they are playing for. This is what 2005 was like back then. I mean, Vanderbilt has been big underdogs to Tennessee, and they have overperformed in those games, right? And this would be the equivalent, if Josh Heupel in Tennessee loses this game, of Texas losing to Kansas. It's identical in every way. Texas was a 31-point favorite in that game. Lost to Kansas. Their fullback, a walk-on, catches a two-point conversion in overtime, and now he's doing Applebee's commercials. So this is within the realm of possibilities, and I think that Clark Lee has really stripped everything down at Vanderbilt and has broken up everything to rebuild it from the very ground floor. Right. And Tennessee has to do the same thing to an extent with Josh Heupel. But if Tennessee is building from the ground floor, then, you know, Clark Lee's starting with a parking garage beneath the ground. This is a completely different situation for him because he has to build the infrastructure of how a football program succeeds in the SEC. And, you know, that's a lot easier said than done. This is the point of the season where that Ole Miss game is a big moral victory for them. Tennessee has to continue to be good in the first quarter. Where, again, they were terrific against South Alabama. They have now, looking for this stat, outscored their opponents in the first quarter 162-44 this season. That needs to continue. Otherwise, if you let a team like Vandy stay in it, we're talking about a Houston Texans-Tennessee Titans situation, and we saw how that went last weekend.
Yeah, you can certainly draw those comparisons. Kansas-Texas is a good one. You know, Jay Cutler, I guess, was the outlier there in 2005, right, in Neyland Stadium in that game that Vanderbilt won in Knoxville. But, look, I just think that they're going to be too outmatched, and crazy things can happen. But here's a team that has not allowed less than 21 points in a game. Their best defensive outings came early in the year, their first win against Colorado State, and then that 21-20 loss against South Carolina, which, to their credit, they were very competitive in. And I believe that game was on the road in Columbia. But it's a group that has a hard time getting into the backfield, just 9 sacks on the year. I just think Tennessee is going to be too fast on the edges. I think this offense is going to be too much for Vanderbilt to handle. And it's just a wide margin, you know, established in the first half. I don't think it's something Vanderbilt is going to be able to overcome. Maybe they can take advantage of a Tennessee defense that is certainly tired and relatively thin at this point in the season. Maybe they'll score some points, but Will, I just have a really hard time unless Tennessee comes out and just absolutely craps the bed and has a horrible outing. You know, maybe senior day gets in the way of some things and guys are distracted and they're looking ahead to whatever bowl game they might get. That's the only way that I really picture Tennessee not running away from Vanderbilt by the second quarter here.
I think I'm with you. I'm going to put this one for Tennessee. Give me, I don't know, give me 52-17. I think Tennessee handles its business. I think this team really wants to finish strong. And I think that has been the MO from Josh Heupel for the second half of this season. Finish what you started. 7-5, chance to go to a good bowl game, pending whatever else happens in rivalry weekend in college football. Give me a big Tennessee win. All the things that worry me about this matchup, I agree with you. I think on the field, Tennessee is just so much better than Vandy.
Magic number for Tennessee with this game coming up and then whatever bowl game they get, 64 to break the program record for points scored in the season. It was 484 set by Tennessee and Philip Fulmer in Fulmer's first year back in 1993. So they need 63 points to tie it, 64 points to break the program record for points in a season. Would certainly be quite a feat for Josh Heupel to hang his hat on and use as a recruiting tool moving forward after year one.
No doubt about it. So whether or not he gets that program record, is Josh Heupel the SEC coach of the year?
He's up there. You know, it's crazy how he is very firmly in that conversation. And we do this every year. Do you give it to just the guy that just has had the best team, the guy that could end up winning the SEC and Kirby Smart? I think that's fair because nobody expected Georgia to be this dominant, right? I think that's fair to say. We didn't expect them to be this good on that side of the ball. And you can't just wave it away, say, oh, well, he has the better players. Of course, they're winning. Well, he got the better players there. Yeah, right. He put them in those situations and hired the right guys to call the right plays and put them in those spots to have one of the best defenses that we've seen in this era of college football, if not the best. So absolutely, Kirby Smart has to firmly be probably the favorite. And then other than that, you know, Sam Pittman is in the discussion. Josh Heupel firmly in the discussion. And I think Shane Beamer has worked his way into that discussion. The way that he's kept South Carolina playing over this back half of the year after getting blown out by Tennessee, blown out by Texas A&M, and you look and they've beat Florida and Auburn in back-to-back weeks. If South Carolina will upsets Clemson on rivalry week, Shane Beamer has my vote for SEC Coach of the Year because of the way he was able to keep this team together after a brutal middle stretch of the season where they were just getting run off the field. They did not look competitive against really a lot of the middle of the pack teams in the SEC. So, but I think Heupel was given less than anybody coming into 2021. There's no question. He had less to work with from, I think, a depth standpoint. I don't know about a talent standpoint when you look at South Carolina's roster and you compare the two. Certainly Tennessee, with the way it's recruited over the years, I think would have that talent advantage. But just overall state of affairs, right, with Tennessee football going into 2021, I think Heupel had it the worst, and he's done the most with the least. So I think that should put him in the conversation. I don't think he wins it, though. I think Kirby Smart wins SEC Coach of the Year if he's able to get over the hump and finally beat Nick Saban and beat Alabama in the SEC title game.
I think if Alabama was doing what Georgia is doing this year, we would suffer from Nick Saban fatigue and give it to Josh Heupel. But yeah, since it's a new name, it's going to be Kirby Smart.
I agree.
This is a new thing we've never seen before. It's the greatest coach in the history of college football getting beat at his own game by one of his guys, right? And that's going to happen. Yeah. Georgia's going to win the SEC. They're going to win the national championship. I don't even think Georgia can Georgia this situation. It's got to be Kirby Smart for the defense that he has built over time. And he's had the number one recruiting class, what, 3 out of the last 4 years? It's incredible what he's been able to do. I think since it's a new name, it's going to be him.
Look, Georgia can't Georgia the situation until they Georgia the situation. I'm not willing to say that quite yet, but you're absolutely right. If he beats Alabama in the SEC title game, I'm perfectly fine. Give it to Kirby Smart. But we have this discussion with the Heisman too, right? Just give it to the best quarterback on the best team. But then you look at that discussion and it's almost up in the air where we're feels like we're resorting to, well, give it to CJ Stroud or give it to Bryce Young or Matt Corral. But some of those guys aren't the best player on their own team. I'd give it to Will Anderson over Bryce Young. I think he's had a more of an impact on Alabama over the last few weeks with his sack numbers and TFL numbers. They are insane. Will Anderson, the edge rusher for Alabama. So it's this conversation we have every year, but it's almost refreshing, right? That we actually, when's the last time we kind of had this sort of debate? I think there's 3 or 4 really solid candidates for SEC Coach of the Year, and Josh Heupel's one of them.
Yeah, I would put Shane Beamer right with Josh Heupel, especially if they beat Clemson. I mean, the job that guy's done. I remember hearing in Hoover how much people really behind the scenes liked him and thought that he had all the personality qualities to succeed there. Did not expect him. I know, Bo Nix is out for Auburn, and that's the way that game ended was kind of funky. But still, just to be in that situation for that South Carolina team is pretty good. All right, so on the way out, Lucas, we'll have a bowl game to talk about the next time we were on the show. Quickly, what do you think Tennessee's doing bowl game wise? I think I've got a pretty clear thought, but what do you think?
Every bowl game wants Tennessee. Liberty Bowl is going to want Tennessee. The Music City Bowl is going to want Tennessee. Maybe they get into one of those Georgia bowl games, Tax Slayer, but you know, they've kind of been there, done that a couple of times over the last decade. Well, I'm going to shoot out this prediction. I saw today, USA Today, by the way, predicting them to the Music City Bowl to play Michigan State, which I think would be a great scenario for Josh Heupel to play a playoff contender, or what we thought was a playoff contender, and at one point a Heisman contender with Kenneth Walker, the running back. My prediction, Duke's Mayo Bowl, first time Tennessee will have ever played in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, NC State, who, depending on what happens against North Carolina this week, could be 9-3, 8-4.
I think it's Music City Bowl. I think Tennessee pushes for Music City Bowl because of recruiting. I mean, look at how many good kids in Nashville they did not get this time around. You talk about the Wade twins at Summit, you know, with a little bit of a high school football finish to our show today. The Wade twins, Berrion Brown, you know, a guy that's not going to Tennessee, Jordan James down in Oakland, Antonio Patterson, another guy. There's a lot of good kids in Nashville this team didn't get. They've got to start getting more in-state guys. I think Danny White and Josh Heupel choose, for the sake of recruiting, let's either go to Memphis or Nashville. I think the emphasis is on Nashville, a bowl that always really wants Tennessee, and the future site reportedly as well of the Orange and White game next season. So it would make a lot of sense. Tennessee plays two straight games in Nashville. I think it's either Nashville or a Florida bowl game. And I think Danny White's connections, what we know about him as an athletic director, it's a go-getter who's going to make something happen in the best interest of Tennessee. So very interested to see where the Vols end up. My money is on Nashville at this point. All right, Lucas, we are out of time. Thanks for listening to the newest episode, the Thanksgiving Feast Week episode of the Ultimate Tennessee Podcast. Much more basketball discussion coming up in future weeks. Tennessee's bowl destination, we'll be all over that as well. There is lots still to discuss at the end of football and much more. Find the Ultimate Tennessee Podcast wherever you download audio, and we will talk to you again next Wednesday right here on the Zone Podcast Network.